This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
The reading today is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 to 6, if you'd like to read along at home. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her, all of her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die in it like manna. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 36 to 50. Thanks. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Although he had performed many signs in their presence, they did not believe him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word I have spoken will serve as a judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who has sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, so have that open in front of you from the end of John 12. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. What a strange thing for Jesus to do. Why would he hide from people like this? But Jesus departing and hiding captures something of how we can experience Jesus. It might be that you feel that Jesus is sometimes absent in your day-to-day life. You know, you come and reconnect with him on Sundays, but during the week it feels like, well, is he really there? or in your prayers. It can feel like you're talking to yourself because there's nothing there to, no one there to actually speak into, no one to engage with. But more broadly, when I talk to people about Jesus, one of the most common questions I get is, why doesn't God make himself clearer? Why doesn't he do something obvious that we can really see and feel and taste and touch? On a Wednesday morning in September 2009, I woke up and things just didn't quite feel right. I opened my window and the sky was completely blood red. And I seriously thought, okay, this is the end. Is this the end of the world? Has Jesus come back? Turned out it was just a dust storm, but I wasn't alone in that. And it makes you think, why doesn't God do something like this? Something that's really obvious, breaking in and saying, hello, everyone, I'm here. Why does Jesus seem to remain hidden from us? Well, when you think about it, Christmas is all about Jesus' hiddenness. Yes, he is the light of the world, but Jesus is a hidden light. He's like a light under a lampshade or a torch in a sleeping bag in a dark tent. You can see the shadows and kind of sparkles of light coming out the zipper holes, but it's never going to light up a dark night. And the baby in an animal's feeding trough is hardly a bright light. And that continues throughout Jesus' life. That's part of the reason why in verse 37, John says, although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. Do you ever wish that you were there to see Jesus' miracles? To see him walking across the water? To taste that wine, the sweet wine that he makes out of the water at the wedding? To smell the bread and the fish that he distributes to the thousands of people? To see Lazarus before your very eyes, to peel away his grave clothes and see his warm body. But the thing is that people did see these things and they still weren't convinced. They were amazed, but they didn't know what to do with it. This was just a carpenter's son from a rural town. A teacher who was eventually arrested and crucified by the Roman authorities. Hardly anything and hardly somebody to inspire confidence. Jesus' appearance as the light of the world isn't obvious. His light is a hidden light. His glory is a hidden glory. And in a lot of ways, God had always operated like this. John quotes from the ancient prophet Isaiah, who spoke hundreds of years before Jesus, who talks about how God would work to save his people Israel, but in a way that wasn't obvious. Isaiah talks about someone who will bring about God's salvation, but this somebody was disfigured, disabled, attacked, suffering, and pathetic. Hardly the kind of thing that inspires confidence. And so Isaiah says in verse 38, Lord, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And the answer is nobody. Almost nobody believed because God looked so hidden. In a world that is still dark, Jesus' light is most often hidden to us. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we can't see that light, when the darkness and distraction of the world crowds him out. Jesus' light is a hidden light. But that's not all there is to it, because the problem isn't just out there, an objective thing about Jesus being hidden. It's also in here and in here. Because Jesus' light is the kind of light that we can choose to see or not. We can choose or not to see Jesus' light. See, John calls Jesus' miracles signs. They're signs that point to, that indicate who Jesus really is. But just because you see a sign, it doesn't mean that you understand what it means or even that you believe it. A few years ago, several years ago, Naomi and I went, we visited China. And one of the things that we discovered in China is that all the signs in China are in Chinese, not in English. And it's so as an English speaker and reader, it's very difficult to understand and get around. Now, if you go to a country where people speak and read French or Spanish or German, you can start to make some guesses. But in China, you have, we had absolutely no hope. Our only hope would have been, if we were there for longer than 2 weeks, to learn the language, to open our eyes, to learn the language so that we could see and understand what these signs really meant. Or we could have closed our eyes and remained steadfastly stubborn in our English-speaking ways and remained lost, with half an hour to go before the gates closed at the airport. And it's the same with Jesus' signs and Jesus' light. We are faced with a choice. We can open our eyes and see them, or close our eyes and shut them out. And there are a few reasons for this. In his book, The Intelligence Trap, David Robson talks about how all people are prone to see things in ways that confirm their prior understanding. Confirmation bias means that we see things that confirm what we already believe. And people with a high IQ, well, they're just more likely to be able to construct good arguments to confirm what they already believe. And the upshot of this is that even if you see good evidence for Jesus' light, or indications of God working in your life, if you don't want to believe them, then you will tend not to. We tend to perceive things that confirm what we already know. But the issue isn't just a psychological issue. The issue is also spiritual. There's something spiritual going on here too. And that's why John quotes the prophet Isaiah again. In verse 39, John says, "And so they could not believe because Isaiah also said, 'He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.'" Now, John's point here isn't that God just stopped everybody from seeing who Jesus really was. His point was that people were already rejecting Jesus and turning away from him, shutting him out. And so that is why Jesus departed and hid from them. He gave them what they wanted. And so this is a warning about a spiritual reality. If we close ourselves off to Jesus, we risk developing spiritual cataracts and spiritual hardened arteries that close us off to the truth of the light of Jesus. When we don't look for ways that Jesus reveals himself to us, we won't see them. If you don't look for his provision and daily care for you, or if you don't look for the prayers he answers, or the evidence that he is the light of the world, your eyes can grow dull and yellowed, and your heart hard, and he will remain hidden. There's also a social cost to following Jesus openly. And so in addition to the psychological and spiritual barriers, there's also a social barrier. And so John talks about that in chapter 12, verse 42. He says, "Many even of the authorities believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God." Now, people used to think that Christians were silly and maybe a bit quaint, but now more people think that we're toxic or at least deluded. And that can be really hard. Following Jesus can mean that people will look down on you. And, you know, we're social beings, so there's something right about caring what people think about us. But the challenge for us is to have the courage to put God's reputation above our own reputation. So why does Jesus seem hidden? Two reasons. Well, in a world of darkness, his light is a hidden light. And inside us, we have a choice, a decision to see Jesus' light, to open our eyes, or to close our eyes and cut him off. And so the challenge for us this Christmas is to see Jesus afresh with eyes of faith. And that's not a gullible vision that just believes anything that we see, but it is eyes that are open to seeing who Jesus really is and to see his light lighting up our eyes. Like my friend who just had cataract surgery and replaced his yellowing, dulling lenses so that instead of that yellow dullness, he could see clear, blue, white light. Just like that, you can come to God with new eyes and a new receptiveness. 2020 hasn't been an easy year, but one thing that I've seen has been an increased receptiveness to Jesus' light. And maybe you've experienced this too. A realization that the things that crowd out the light aren't as permanent as you thought, or that they don't matter as much as you thought they mattered before. Or a renewed sense of the potential darkness in the world, or the potential darkness in your own heart. A darkness that needs the light of eternal life from Jesus Christ. And the way to develop this new vision is to start asking. Each day to pray and ask Jesus to make his light obvious to you. And then to start looking. This January, why not read the whole of the Gospel of John and see Jesus in a new way as the light of the world. Encounter Jesus, the light of the world. And in your life, look for ways that God is at work. Ways that God's at work to change you or to change your circumstances, to answer your prayers. And when you start asking and looking, God will brighten your eyes. In Tolkien's book, The Hobbit, Bilbo and the company of dwarves, they're travelling through the dark and dreadful Mirkwood Forest. Hungry and discouraged, they finish all their food and they become hopelessly lost. Until suddenly, they see light in the distance. Twinkling lights that as they draw closer, the lights that draw them in, and as they draw closer, they start to make out wood elves, a party of wood elves laughing and feasting, living just how Bilbo and the dwarves have been dreaming in those long dark nights in that dreadful forest. For them, those lights were just twinklings in the distance, but as they drew closer, they saw with more clarity their promise and invitation. This Christmas, the twinkling of Jesus' light in the darkness is a promise and an invitation to you. A promise of knowing God intimately, of coming again to Jesus to encounter the creator and sustainer of the universe. The promise of illumination and clarity as you experience the light ever more clear in your eyes and in your heart as you grow increasingly receptive to him. The promise of full eternal life, salvation from the judgment of God, and the possibility of contentment, satisfaction, and lasting joy. And so the invitation is to come to Jesus, to have your eyes opened to his light, so that he will no longer remain hidden, but be revealed to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.